The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side of the glass. And my guys, my fellas, my brothers from the MGO blogosphere, they joined us on a Tuesday. Accommodated us, taking time out of their busy days. Because he said, fellas, we can't go a whole week without, and especially Ohio State week, can't go without the MGO Blog Roundtable. So they said, hey, we'll come on Tuesday. Joining us as they normally do on Thursday, Brian Cook, he of MGO Blog fame. Brian, how are you?
Hello. Rich Reddy is about to get some major pushback because he didn't know Craig Ross was going to be around to respond to his scurrilous accusations.
Right? And then, of course, Seth Fisher, who was listening as well, and you have a correction to one of the claims made by Rich Reddy. Is that right there, Seth?
Oh, there are quite a few corrections. If you wanted to make this whole, like, let's correct Rich Reddy segment, we can do that. But we've been called out for being too negative on our podcast. So we wanted to come here on the radio and show you that we are pure Michigan fans. I've got a shot of COVID in one shoulder. I got a shot of flu in my other shoulder. And I've been watching Maryland try to play defense all the last few days. And I am still here. And I'm ready to show you my Michigan fandom. It's on my heart and on my sleeve, and I'm ready to go.
And then Craig Ross. I think Seth said he's 3,000 years old. So apparently Rich Reddy shortchanged you, took some of your years away. But I just say you're wise. You're well-read. No. You're my guy, Craig Ross. How you doing this morning?
Well-read, I'll give him, yes. He reads a lot of books, but wise, I cannot accept that.
Craig Ross is so old he remembers the bubonic plague.
Well, I will admit to this. I love Rich Reddy. I love his segment. He's wonderful. He mentioned surprise today, Paul Cromer, who few may remember, but he was an All-American running back at Michigan in the late 30s, and then in his senior year, Tom Harmon showed up. And so he became a blocking back for Tom Harmon. I knew Paul Cromer. I talked to him many times. So I am pretty old when I've talked to a guy who he grew up where I grew up in Lorain, Ohio, and was a sailmaker in Lorain. And I did not know he was a Michigan football player. I certainly didn't know he was an All-American football player because he was a little scrawny guy. But a really interesting man. One thing that Rich, had wrong, at least according to Dennis Franklin, is the year that the Big Ten ADs voted 6-4 to send Ohio State to the Rose Bowl, and Michigan would have killed that USC team, which was no good anyway. Mm-hmm. The quarterback would have been Larry Sipa, who actually was a good quarterback and played more than several years in the NFL. So the backup to Dennis Franklin was an NFL quarterback, and Franklin always claimed he could throw the ball by Christmas Day and was well ready to play. Was well ready to play in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, so. robbed they were. Man, yeah, old payback from a long time ago.
I can't believe they decided it based off of whether or not Michigan's quarterback could throw the ball. Do you know the first thing about those teams?
Yeah, Franklin.
Oh no, Michigan can't throw.
Yeah, Franklin didn't throw
the game. They didn't throw.
Right, didn't throw it all that much anyway. He was a competent thrower, but he was great at running the triple option, and a wonderful, really terrific football player. Uh-huh. And I remember Franklin. When he came to Michigan, he said someone asked him because I believe he was from Massillon, Ohio, and they had a big stadium, high school stadium there that seats, I don't know, 25 or 30,000. And they had asked him about playing in front of big crowds. And he goes, well, I don't know. We never have more than 30,000 here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know,
all right, fellas, let's get into it. Let's broad brush this Maryland game so we could talk about the Buckeyes. Just your biggest takeaways, starting with you, Brian, from a team that was clearly overmatched. Maryland isn't very good. Michigan wind up dispatching of them quite easily in the grand scheme of things. So what did you take away from that contest?
I wrote about this in the game column. I can't remember anything that happened in Maryland games because they're so immediately forgettable. I think that something cool happened on special teams, but that's all I remember.
Seth?
The most encouraging thing I found while watching the tape is that Michigan was doing a lot of things that don't make any sense against Maryland, but make a lot of sense to put on the film before Ohio State. So I'm a little less concerned than I was before that Michigan overprepared for the Maryland Terrapins and were not focused on the real game at hand. So good to see that they were looking past them.
Craig Ross?
A couple things. One, I watched the MSU game before the Michigan game, and we were all rooting for a 95-10 final, which we thought would have been completely appropriate, given the nature of what's on the table for their coach. But it was slightly disappointing when Ohio State pulled out. You know, pulled in their horns early in the third quarter. But the thing that about the Michigan game that I was really happy was Michigan deciding to throw the ball to Donovan Edwards. I mean, we've been clamoring on this show for probably 3 years for Michigan to be throwing the ball to the running backs, particularly if you're not going to run read options, because it does tend to then give the defense a little more to deal with. And this week, not only did they throw it to the running backs, they threw it to Edwards. I think it was 10 or 11 receptions for 170 yards, which is the most ever in the history of Michigan football. And they did it in different ways. They did it with wheel routes and they did it, after play action, and they did it different ways. So it was, you know, I don't know if that, at least it's something Ohio State has to look at at the tapes, regardless of whether, you know, whether it's used again.
It was not something Maryland looked at before the tapes. Yeah. Like, your responses are so bad.
Yeah. I mean, look, if Blake Corum were going to play, who was obviously certainly early in the season, one of Michigan's leading pass catchers, if Blake Corum was going to play, you prepare for that. You aren't preparing for that with Hassan Haskins, right? That's not right. That's not really his game. So I agree with you. You watch what, and as good as Blake is really, really good. Donovan could have been a five-star receiver, and I think we saw that on Saturday. So it's an element that if you're Ohio State, you got to pay attention to. But I want to look at K-Mac. I want to look at the quarterbacks for a minute. So I think that was Cade McNamara's best game. I think it was a better game than at Michigan State. I'm curious what you guys think. Is that an overstatement in your estimation? What do you think of Cade McNamara's performance in that game?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't getting the kind of pressure in this game that he was against Michigan State. So I thought he made a lot of plays under duress against Michigan State, like the Andrew Anthony throw. There was one to all that, to me, I thought were more difficult than the kind of throws he was hitting. He also had a couple of pretty nice catches from his receivers in this game. But the ability to identify that the wheel was going to be open for Edwards and lay it in there so that he didn't have to break stride at all was great. So like he had his moments here. Just got to stop throwing it off his offensive lineman's helmets.
Yeah. You know, I just think, as unfortunate as it is to say, there are certain things that you're going to have to live with. You aren't going to correct his arm slot, right? I mean, we can complain. We can just hope for the best. Hope he at least stops with the helmet shots, but he's going to have batted balls. There was another instance in this game where, you know, you had a dig on him. He's just not going to throw that against zone. But the thing that he very often, but the things that he did do, that wheel route to me was outstanding because that he missed that very play against Wisconsin. You guys remember, right? He missed that very play to the same guy, to Donovan Edwards versus Wisconsin. And here he is. He hit it in this game. The Andre Anthony play, it was a great catch by Andre Anthony, but he had pressure coming in his face. I it was good to see him not leave. He left fewer plays on the field. I think that's what stood out to me. He hit more guys. He left fewer plays on the field.
My analysis was almost the exact opposite of that. Like he had a lot of dead-on shots in this one. But McNamara, he was hitting his first read a lot because Merrill was leaving his first read open a lot. And then you'd see that, and then all of a sudden, like, Schoonmaker on, like, his third read was, like, breaking super wide open for a touchdown, and, like, Maryland was just bad. So, like, the difference, Michigan State's secondary is not good, but Michigan State, Cade was coming down to his second, third read. He was facing pressure, and then he just makes some incredible throw. That stood out to me as the best game by a Michigan quarterback in years.
The Michigan State game.
This one, Michigan State game.
Wow.
So I that's a very high bar for me.
Wow.
McNamara.
I disagree
this game
with that.
Was just like, this game was a first read quarterback going in there and making the first read that was open and getting the ball there. And
man,
I mean, that's what you wanted out of
it. It's I got to tell you, it's to me, it's a matter of looking back, because at this game, it was like three or four bad throws. In this game, you look at that Michigan State game, there are a lot of misses in that game, So that's what stands out to me. Can you capitalize on what's there? And it was encouraging to me, even if he wasn't facing as much pressure, he was facing a better secondary, right? I mean, we can say that he was facing a better secondary than the one that he saw at East Lansing. And here this guy, in this contest, the majority of the time, I mean, he even had a few drops in there. I mean, I thought that, you know, as far as capitalizing on what's there, I thought it was a good day for him. And I thought it was a really good day for J.J. McCarthy, who, if you had any doubts about, you know, his usage, I thought that this was his best game, too. I'm curious what you think about that.
Oh, yeah. This game was tailor-made for McCarthy. Just because, like, the stuff was wide open. Remember I told you that third read was going to be open? Like, McCarthy's a guy who's going to get to that third read. He's going to run around until that guy's open. And, I mean, the one he hit to Edwards underneath the wheel route where they just kind of, you know, they vamped that. I mean, that's kind of what McCarthy's going to give you that McNamara is never going to have.
Well, there was that.
Yeah, the game was for him.
There was that two-play sequence in pretty short order where he broke a couple of tackles, picked up, I think, 14 yards on the ground. And, like, he's done that a couple of times this year where he's not just the guy who's going to slide down after 6 or 7 yards. He's a real option as a runner. And then I think he throws a hitch to Cornelius Johnson, and you can just hear it arrive at Cornelius Johnson. And you're just like, okay.
That's different.
Yeah, that's different, yeah. Yeah, there's like the segment of the fan base that's like, we need to play JJ because he has more upside. And you see that argument. I don't think that's practical at this point, obviously, but I understand where that's coming from.
The one thing I'll say from my view was that I felt McNamara did his best job this week at stepping up into the pocket. I felt like he pressed the pocket a lot better than he has in the past. He didn't bail. I think the one time he bailed in this game, it made sense. And he ended up going out to his right and finding an open lane to throw into. But the one thing he really did well was when there was pressure, which wasn't a lot, I'll concede. But when there was pressure, he did step up into the pocket and press the pocket. And so I thought, in that context, this was as good as I've seen him. You know, I thought McCarthy had a great game too, or a good game too, and limited numbers of reps, but I thought he did very well with them. The issue, of course, is not one for this week. It's one for maybe next month, which is what does Michigan do next year? Which is,
There's only one game on the schedule
right.
this year.
No, I agree.
I think that he showed, we saw signs of his maturation in this game, and the biggest one was the check he made for the touchdown. I mean, you know, there are some who feel like, you know, you don't mess with your quarterbacks, especially in a big game like this. I thought one of the reasons Michigan was so effective against Michigan State was because he played in that contest. And I believe the same to be true in this contest as well. I think that he is a more mature quarterback now. Definitely think that he is ready for the moment. And frankly, I wonder what you guys think. I think they're going to need him. I think they're going to need his playmaking ability injected into the equation, much like we saw when they were in East Lansing.
there's a very clear difference in their zone read game when McCarthy's in there versus McNamara, right? McNamara, they don't respect that at all. And you saw that one time McNamara checked into a run and then the guy comes around from behind and catches him. That's because that guy does not have any fear. And then there's another play later. It's a zone stretch and they got McCarthy in there. And like there's four guys on the left all waiting for McCarthy to keep and like nobody on the right. And Haskins doesn't meet anybody for like the first 5 yards. Just there's just all Michigan guys on that side. And that kind of threat in the run game, it's going to open up so much for those running backs. I still totally think that McNamara is your starter. Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, these guys are both on a team. Both of them can help you. And McCarthy gives you some aspects that McNamara doesn't that should be in the offense. And I like that they're using him that way.
Yeah, I think it's huge. He, you know, people, you know, talk about the one bad play against Michigan State where he fumbled out of bounds. But again, I mean, that's how many games ago, you know, he is, I think that's part of the maturation process for him. Would have liked on his one run in this game to the outside for him to switch the ball to his outside arm like he did in that, on that fumble out of bounds against Michigan State. One of the reasons why that ball did go out of bounds because he did switch it to his outside arm. But this is a guy that I, you know, playmaking ability, J.J., Donovan Edwards, I think they got to be in the mix for this game against the Buckeyes. I think they will be in this in the mix for the game against the Buckeyes. So talking about the Buckeyes, when you watched them do what they did to Michigan State, did you come away thinking they were better than you originally thought? Or did you come away from it saying, oh, well, Michigan State is worse than I originally thought? Which one was it? Or was it both?
I think both. Like, you don't really expect a conference game against a reasonable opponent to be 49-0. So whenever that happens, you got to like look at what's going on with both teams. And I think Michigan State has been kind of living on borrowed time in regards to their secondary. And that was the worst possible matchup. They just couldn't even stay anywhere near Ohio State receivers. Even when they had good calls on the Ohio State receivers, just beat them one-on-one all day, every day. So, you know, to some extent, I think it was expected. I didn't think that game was going to be tight, but 49-0. I mean, like,
yeah, I was surprised that it was like that in the second quarter. Yeah, I knew they were get blown out, picked as much, but that it happened so fast every single drive. I tell you, my overriding feeling was, how the hell did Michigan lose to these dudes? That was my overriding feeling coming
well,
out of it.
I have several different answers for that.
What did you think of the Michigan State Ohio State game there, Seth?
Oh man, I mean, State secondary was not going to have a chance against those receivers. You got three, you know, NFL receivers out there, and you know they're getting paid like it. They deserve to be out there. I was more surprised that Michigan State's offense wasn't able to get the ball moving against them at all. Ohio State's linebackers have not been that good this year. They did a really good job of flying to the ball, of anticipating what Michigan State was going to run. They had them scouted really well, and it was like, I don't want Ohio State's defense to be good right now, too. Like, the offense we know about, we knew that's going to be an issue, but I was hoping they would be able to get scored upon because they changed their entire defensive system this year. And they're just doing it with talent, but it's, you know, they got talent.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt that Ohio State was better than I would guess they would fare in this game. I knew they would score points, but I was surprised at how well, you know, they kept the Michigan State running game inert. Now, of course, the kid only got – Walker only had six runs
carries,
and
yeah.
Six carries for 24, 25 yards, something like that. And by the time –
that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to get hurt or he seemed to have some ankle problem. And by the time we were 5 minutes into the game, it was pretty much over. So they just basically pulled him. And I don't think Michigan State was going to be successful just passing the ball against them. You know, my question for you guys is, I think Michigan we'll be able to move the ball some against Ohio State, I think. But I don't know what we're going to do with that offense, because Stroud did not look like the same quarterback I'd seen in the Oregon game or in the early part of the season. He looks like he's come a long way, and that offense has come a long way.
So we got to get to a break, and we'll address that on the other side. But how about you not let the guy camp out in the backfield? How about you let him? How about you make him have to move? How about you at least breathe on him, which Michigan State never did all day long? The guy could have built a house back there. We got to get to a break. Be back on the other side. More MGo Blog Roundtable. We'll get some of your questions coming through on a stream for the guys about this matchup between the Buckeyes and Wolverines come high noon on Saturday here in Ann Arbor. Back with more MGo Blog Roundtable. We'll return here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.